Hello, listeners, and welcome back to the Kids Ministry 101 podcast. I am your guest host, Jeremy Carroll. Don't worry, Chuck will be back very soon. Just asked me to guest host for a few episodes, and I am particularly excited about this episode because I have a good friend of mine who is going to be joining us. He is really one who has taken this particular topic and studying quite a bit about it and doing some neat things with it. But he's also a good friend of mine. So our topic today is going to be apologetics and kids ministry. And my guest today is Landon Tucker. Hey, man, what's up?
Hey, Jeremy. Very glad to be on the podcast. Jeremy has been a friend of mine for a long time, but mostly a mentor in children's ministry and life, relationships and everything in between. So I'm just glad to be here.
Well, we are glad for you to be here and to join us, join with us as we talk about apologetics. Before we get into that, though, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about you, where you're from, what you do, and since we're going to be talking about apologetics, a little bit how you got into apologetics and care so much about that particular topic.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. So I'm a children's pastor from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and I've been in children's ministry now, I believe, going on 7 years total. So to many other people, I'm still quite a rookie, but still making rookie mistakes. But I've been here. I'm engaged to a lovely young lady, being married here in just a couple of months. And really, you know, when it comes to apologetics and children's ministry, this is something that as a kid, I always had questions about God and about, you know, how we know certain things. And just as many kids have questions still today. And so when I got older and started doing some studying of my own in apologetics, I just saw that the kids' questions with how the world works and how, you know, what this certain thing means in the Bible just goes hand in hand with apologetics in the world outside of children's ministry. And so I just really saw that they went hand in hand, and God is doing some great things through apologetics and through children's ministry. And so I'm just so glad to be able to look at it now in this time period of my life.
Well, that's great. So let's start for our listeners, because probably some of our listeners do have a good idea about what apologetics is, but there may be some out there who don't know what we mean. So, Landon, can you give us a good, simple definition, digestible definition for apologetics?
Absolutely. Yeah. Christian apologetics is simply just the defense of Christianity through justification of the reliability of scripture, through cosmology, through philosophical arguments. There's so many different things. Essentially, it is defending the faith of Christianity. 1 Peter 4:15 tells us it's always be ready to give a defense for the reason of the hope that is within you. And so apologetics just kind of plays right into that.
Okay, good. I was getting a little concerned there. You started using all these really big words, and I was like, that's not digestible at all. But you got us there. You landed the plane. Apologetics is a word we use to talk about the defense of our faith. And so let's shift that or talk about kids. Should kids care about apologetics and why?
Well, what's interesting is I believe they care about it without even knowing what the big long words mean.
That's probably true. Yeah.
You know, children ask just the most deep questions sometimes. I know I'm sure there's children's ministers listening or parents listening who have a child come up to them and ask them a question that you're just like, wow, that is just so out of left field. And I don't have an answer for you right now. Yeah. And so kids have questions about the Bible and they have questions about our world and why do bad things happen? You know, adults, maybe non-believers might ask questions that are deep about Christianity that might get us, off of our comfort zone a little bit. But kids will ask questions as well that are very important. And so I believe that God has put questions in kids' minds for a reason. God created our minds to wonder and to think and to question. And if God has put a child in front of you who has those questions, you know, I think it's good to evaluate. Maybe God's called you to help equip that child with the answers that he has for us.
Yeah, that's good. So apologetics, so kids are by nature inquisitive. That's what you said. And I think that's important because a lot of apologetics comes from a question and answer format. We have a question. Do we know the answer? If we don't know the answer, how do we get to the answer? And that's so important. You know, Landon, there's a verse comes to my mind that, you know, we talk about this verse in kids ministry a lot, and that is Matthew 22:37. Sometimes we talk about it from Deuteronomy 6. Sometimes we talk about it from Mark. But it's all throughout Scripture. But the verse, the reason this comes to my mind is because of the word mind. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And sometimes we just leave out that mind part. We are supposed to honor God with our thoughts and the way we think and pursue intellect and learning and all of that stuff is we should be doing that to honor God. And so I think that is so important, and we need to be training up our kids to love the Lord their God with their mind. Now I have, there's a book that I read, a particular author, his name's Tim Elmore, and I love Tim Elmore's research and studies. But he, in his book called Marching Off the Map, he gives what he says are eight shifts that we need to make as leaders of Generation Z or leaders of kids and teenagers, the eight shifts that we need to make to lead them well. And I'm not going to go through the whole book here, but I want to hit on three that of these shifts because I think they're so important when it comes to specifically apologetics and kids ministry. And the first one is he says that we need to not think about informing kids that we're leading, but we need to interpret. And what he says about that, and this is how he gets there, is that if we think about these digital natives, as they're called sometimes, they are the first generation that simply do not rely on parents to get information. In the past, when I was growing up, if I needed information, I would rely on a parent to help me find that information, whether it was take me to the library or to school or hand me a book to an encyclopedia or something to look up information. The kids today they do not rely on that. They have information overload. It's coming at them 24/7, many of them through smart devices, tablets, all kinds of ways. And because of this, they're getting all of this information. They simply don't always have the right context, is what Elmore says. And so we need to stop thinking about, we need to inform and give information, but rather we need to interpret and help them have a filter for the information they have and to understand and interpret the information that they've got. What do you say about that, Landon?
Yeah, well, you're exactly right. And it seems, kind of funny to think about student ministry and cell phones, but, during children's ministry, it seems like more and more you see kids with cell phones. And so that just means the accessibility to those types of deals of information is there really a lot earlier than it was ahead of time. So they need our help in determining, interpreting what this kind of information means, because there's a lot of things that they'll hear from friends' houses next door, and especially at school. But God has placed us to be, whether you are a parent or whether you are a children's minister volunteer, God has placed you in a certain area with a group of kids that He's called you to lead, and a part of that is helping them kind of sift through all this different information overload that they have.
That's right. Another key element to understanding this generation is Elmore will say, "Don't think what, think why." Now, here's what we know about this generation is that they have so much information coming at them, and because of the massive amounts of cultural pressures and experiences they've had, the least of which is just this pandemic that we're going through. But you think of all the way back to 9/11 and the recession of the late 2000s. Like, there's so many things that their culture has shaped them. They are simply not a generation that will take our word for it. And because of that, we don't need to think about just giving them information and spewing more information at them and just adding to the information flood coming toward them. But instead, we need to help them start thinking critically about thinking why. The why connects more to their hearts and will lead them, honestly, to more engagement and ownership, which is some other things that Elmore will say. So don't think what, but think why. Now, that really gets into apologetics, doesn't it, Landon?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the question of why is something that is asked the most. You think about an older person who's maybe a non-believer, maybe someone who's kind of questioning their faith as an adult, might bring up questions like, man, how do you know Jesus was a real person? Or how do you know that Jesus really resurrected? People don't do that. And a kid might not ask that question. Now they might, because they're kids and they ask hard questions. But they will definitely ask questions of, hey, why did this bad thing happen? Why mm-hmm. did my dog I love so much have to get old and die? What's the reason for that? And so, and the same thing goes whenever we give them any sort of, application or teaching, I think they're going to be much more prone to ask the question, why? And again, this is not just a burden of something that's terrible that, oh no, we have to try to find an answer. This is something that can be very exciting that God has placed you to be in this child's life and help them find an answer. And in your own personal life, help grow your faith even more because you've relied on the Lord during this time of kind of searching for answers for others.
That's good. And so we're not just giving them information. We're helping them interpret it. We're not just telling them the what, we're telling them the why. And then, this third one that I'm going to mention of these eight that Elmore says is, he says, move from lecture to lab. And what he means by that is, again, it's not about just spewing out information all over a kid. Now we have to give some information and we want to help them. But what it really is we need to help them. They will embrace the information more if they're discovering it on their own. And so, we need to move out of the just standing up in front and giving them information, and we need to start helping them find the information on their own. That might mean teaching some Bible skills. That might mean teaching them some other types of resources as applicable, maybe for older kids, using some online Bible study tools. So there's all kinds of ways, but what Elmore wants to encourage us to do is, if we're going to lead kids and lead them well, this generation needs us to move out of just giving information, but moving into helping them discover it on their own into a laboratory type scenario that will help them do that, because really that's what we want them to do. And apologetics leads us there, doesn't it? It tells us to get to faith in practice.
Absolutely. And you know, it's something that's very interesting. Lifeway actually has a resource of Bible skills, drills, and some interesting stuff that I've helped lead before. And with that, they can actually look and kind of figure out how to use their Bible. And here's the reason I mentioned that is if a child reads in the New Testament, here's Jesus, here are the Pharisees asking Jesus, hey, what's the most important commandment? What's the most important thing for someone to do? And he mentions and refers back to Deuteronomy 6:4. But if Jesus does not say, obviously, Deuteronomy 6:4, they already know that's a law that they would have all grown up learning about. But if they know how to use their Bible, now they're able to even see the references. They're able to physically look back and say, hey, this is exactly what they were talking about, and help notice that the footnotes or the little study notes that, of course, kids are not going to know every single one of them, but there's tools in the Bible that everybody can use to help their understanding.
That's right. So this is a lot of information. It's a lot to digest, even for adults to think about, okay, we don't have answers. We don't understand a lot of things. But sometimes when we start talking about defending our faith, and especially if we use the word apologetics, that will strike fear into the hearts of many parents and kids as well. So, Lana, why do you think that is, and how can we overcome this fear that is in so many parents and kids about defending our faith?
Of course. Well, look, you know, if I don't know the answer about my vehicle, it's so easy. I can go into Google, I can type something in my specific make and model, and I can figure out an answer. So it doesn't really worry me too much. But if I'm asked a question that I'm not really sure how to answer, that I can't just simply go to Google to type in, it just seems like there's a little bit of an unknown factor, it's going to frighten me a little bit. If I don't know exactly where to find something in Scripture, I might be intimidated and have all these things. And look, no matter what area of maturity you are as a believer or a leader, I think everybody's been there at least one time, and likely more times than that. But it's probably a factor of just of, man, what if I get asked a question that I don't know, and I don't seem like I'm the superhero that maybe they see me as. Mm-hmm. I think all that does is bring us down to be more realistic. Every single leader that we look at, a hero of the Bible, were faulted. They had issues. They had problems that they had trouble overcoming. But because of God's help, they were able to be, and look at us even now, talk about it, and we even teach people about them. So even though there is some fear of, man, I don't know how to answer this question, think of how much more realistic that is to the child that you're leading, because there's going to be times they don't know the answer, but searching in God's word and searching from trusted friends can help them do that later on in life too.
That's right. So what you're saying, if I hear you saying, is if you don't have the answer, if you're a kids ministry leader or you're a parent, mm-hmm. if you're a kids ministry leader, you need to tell your parents this too. it's okay if you don't know everything. We should not be afraid of our scriptures because we don't have all the answers. And we shouldn't be. We should be honest with kids. We can say, I don't know. Let's look at that. Let's figure it out together. Let's look into God's word. If that doesn't work or that's not applicable to that situation, maybe you can say, well, you know what? I'm going to study some more on that. And I'm going to come back next week and I'm going to work with you and talk with you about that. And I'll tell you where I found that from, that answer from. And so it's okay for us to say we don't know from time to time. Now, we don't want to all the time go around saying we don't know. But the great thing is the more that we learn, the more we're going to be able to answer questions of our faith. But really, we just need to equip parents to know that it's okay if they don't have all the answers is what I heard you saying a minute ago. And I think that's an important encouragement to kids ministry leaders and to parents. Now let's talk just a minute about, you mentioned Bible skills, drills, and thrills. Let's talk about some resources that are available. Lifeway, over the last several years, we have, in particularly Lifeway Kids, we've put out a handful of resources that specifically have a little bit of an apologetics flavor. We released a Teen Kid edition that is called Level Up, and it has this question-answer apologetics type approach. We have a preteen specific resource that's called Forged Faith Refined, and that's an 8-volume resource, and each volume looks at a different topic, a type of doctrine. So the first volume is talking about truth and how can we know truth and can we know truth for sure? So it really takes this apologetics flavor. You mentioned Bible skills, drills, and thrills, which is a great resource. Just again, to help give kids tools, to look up scripture and to dig into the word on their own, to help them learn how to use, their Bibles. But Landon, you did something in your ministry that I think that it will really encourage some of our kids ministry leaders and listeners to hear and to know about how you did something internal, didn't use an outside resource, but you just some question and answers of kids in your own ministry. Tell us a little bit about that.
Of course. Well, first off, hey, I want to say this is something that anybody can do. We had a kid come in on a Sunday morning and he had handwritten 21 questions about God, and he gave them to me and he said, hey, can you answer these? And so I asked him to give me a little bit of time to do so, because just looking at them, I could not answer all those in one little place. Right. And so, yeah. we thought, you know, there might be some additional kids who have questions like this that maybe you're not doing it in this exact way. And so what we did was we opened it up to all their parents and we said, look, you have, I believe it's maybe 2 months or so until kind of a deadline, so to speak. But I want you to ask your kids if they have any questions about God and write them down, as many as you want, and send them in to us. And so over the course, we got 50 total questions about God, the Bible, Satan, evil, things like, will there be superpowers in heaven? And, will there be sports in heaven? And all these kind of things you think about kids thinking about. And what we did was I sat down with my pastor to make sure that everything was kind of theologically correct. But through scripture, we answered all of those questions. And so we kind of made it into like a little bitty booklet, and then we handed it out as a free resource to our parents. And so this is something that really anybody can do, but we had the verses right after the questions just to make sure that we put God's word, on it. And then we had like a line or two of commentary. And so it doesn't have to be anything that's super crazy, super good looking, but this is just a way that kids can come and hold on to for years different questions that some of them had over the years. And as younger kids come up, they can kind of use it as a resource as well. But everybody can do something, of this magnitude. I think it's just important to make sure that God's word is answered first, because he's the authority. Everybody has opinions and we all have different ways we view things. But God's word is the ultimate authority on all of our questions.
That's good. We don't want to lose that, because we talked about not knowing answers. We talked about helping to interpret the information that kids are having. And we need to make sure that that filter is always God's word. Always, always, always we come back to how does God's word answer whatever particular question is. We can look to some other things, like there's some great answers in science as far as how it's supporting scripture, and we can go to those things and look at that. But we need to start with Scripture and use that as the bedrock of truth for the kids and whatever answers they have. There are a couple of other resources that Lifeway has put out. And if you go to our website, lifeway.com, and type in apologetics, you're going to see all kinds of things. There are Defend Your Faith Bibles. There are devotionals and things that you could get to put in the hands of kids that will really help equip both kids and parents to start to learn apologetics and have an apologetic posture when they approach Scripture and their faith. Those types of things are good. But you know, one of the things that we know that a lot of things have stopped over the last year as we're recording this early 2021. Over the last year, a lot of things have stopped. One of the things that has not stopped, and that is information overload. We may be getting information differently via Zoom and other virtual type environments, but we haven't stopped getting information, and our kids have not stopped getting information. And we need to make sure that we are not stopping helping them interpret that information. And to do that, we have some great resources we'd love for you to check out. And that is at lifeway.com/kidsministry from anywhere. Again, lifeway.com/kidsministry from anywhere. And that'll take you to some strategies, some ebooks, some training videos, and other Bible story resources that are going to help you as you reach, teach, and disciple kids, because kids still need to be discipled even during this pandemic. The Lord is moving. The Spirit of God is moving among kids. They're still asking questions. And so I want to encourage you, our kids ministry leaders and listeners, to take that seriously, to do whatever you can to meet kids wherever they are when they're not coming to you. Landon, I appreciate you being here this day. And all that we've talked about has been so encouraging, I know, to many leaders out there. Listeners, thank you again for listening, and we are so grateful to partner with you, and anytime we can come alongside you and encourage you, it is our joy and honor to do that. Until next time, we will see you again here at the Kids Ministry 101 Podcast.